This evening, we're going to be studying a psalm that talks about death and deals with the topic of death. And it is Psalm 90. And so I would encourage you to open your Bibles to Psalm 90 this evening as we think about a saint's closing prayer. This particular psalm, you know, most of the psalms, when we open the psalms, we think about David, or sometimes we may think about some of the other writers of the psalms, such as Asaph or others. But this particular psalm, the heading of the psalm says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And so here is a psalm that was written by Moses. This is not a Davidic psalm. It's a psalm that was written long before David was king. And in this particular prayer, Moses deals with the problem of death because he saw so much of it within his lifetime. You know, Moses lived a long life, some 120 years, I believe it was. And he saw many things during his lifetime. Of course, early on in his youth, he was responsible for the death of another. And then later on, as he led the children of Israel through the desert, the wandering of the wilderness, he saw many die there. God had pronounced upon Israel that curse that no one over 20 years old would enter into the land of Canaan, and how that must have affected him over the years, and how that must have stirred his soul to write this particular psalm that we read. Perhaps it was written upon the death of Aaron, his brother, or maybe Miriam, his sister. These were two individuals who died while they were still wandering in the wilderness on the way to the land of Canaan. And it serves as a model for us today in thinking about the end of the day or the end of life or perhaps the closing of a service of one kind or another. But it is nevertheless a prayer that is uttered to God. It's a beautiful prayer, a prayer that's full of compassion and love, but also a prayer that's full of honesty. A prayer that acknowledges the truth of our circumstances and our situation. It seems like today we live in such a dishonest culture and dishonest society, and people don't want to deal with reality, you know, the way that it is so much. But this psalm deals with reality, and it helps us to understand that while realities can sometimes be bitter, that nevertheless God is present and that God is full of comfort. And that ultimately our refuge lies in Him. Regardless of where we might be or what may happen within our life, God is our refuge. And that's how this psalm begins. It begins with a benediction to the Lord, a statement of blessing, if you will. In verses 1 and 2, Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever You had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. Moses is calling our attention to the fact that ultimately God is responsible for our comfort. God is responsible for our dwelling place. He's our refuge. And this verse, verse 1, Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations, teaches three things. First of all, God's people have a dwelling place. And that dwelling place is in God. That dwelling place is with God. And that's such a wonderful comfort to know because God is eternal. And He's not going to die. He's always going to be there for us. And He always will provide if we will allow Him to provide within our life. But notice the place. The dwelling place for God's people is in fact the Lord Himself. Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. You, Lord, You're the one in whom we dwell. You're the one we in whom we live and move and have our being, as Paul said in Acts chapter 17. And this is true for all time, for all generations, for everyone. God is ultimately the source of life. He is, in comparison to the things that are suffered here on the earth, He is the one who gives life. He is the one who provides life. He is the one who continues life, even after death. God provides in all these things. And the Lord is the ultimate sanctuary for God's people. He is a sanctuary when we are persecuted. Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and verse 19, "Wherefore, let them also that suffer according to the will of God commit their souls in well-doing unto a faithful Creator." He is our sanctuary when hard decisions must be made within our lives. And we can trust in Him because He will direct our paths if we so do. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Even in the times when we think we are not close to God, the times that we have sinned and fallen short of God, He is still our sanctuary and the one to whom we turn for forgiveness of sin and for comfort in the face of our own sins. David wrote in Psalm 51, verses 9 through 11, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." Psalm 84 and verse 11. A wonderful psalm beginning with a wonderful word of blessing to the Lord. But then Moses turns to the heart of the psalm in verses 3 through 11, which is a word respecting the brevity of life. Let's look in verses 3 through 11 at this point. "You turn man to destruction and say, 'Return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep in the morning. They are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all of our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath." What is Moses contemplating here when he thinks about death in such terms? Does it sound like a message of comfort to us that he would invoke the wrath of God? As I said earlier, this psalm is an honest psalm, and it deals with the reality of the situation. Moses sees death as an expression of God's anger for sin. Perhaps it was written after a time in Moses' life when the children of Israel were being punished for some wickedness that they had done. We read the book of Numbers, several things that occurred in which God punished the children of Israel with death in many ways. In Numbers 26 and verse 25, the situation was this: the Lord had said to them, "They shall surely die in the wilderness." And there was not left a man of them save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. And so God's wrath upon the children of Israel for their sins brought death to them. But there's a deeper truth here that I believe applies to all mankind, and that is that sin brings death to our lives. We remember in the Garden of Eden when God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And as a result of sin, death came into the world. And we must live with that consequence of sin even today. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6 and verse 23. And while we've not been condemned to die in a physical wilderness as the Israelites have, we find that their situation is instructive to us today. The earth is our wilderness, and we, by virtue of our sin, must suffer the consequence of physical death. And that is true for everyone. Paul wrote in Romans 5 and verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." But we ought not to conclude from this that God is specifically angry with His saints. And I think that's an important point to understand. Psalm 116 and verse 15 says this, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." And notice at the beginning of this section, Moses writes, "You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men." There's a very real sense in which at death we are returning. We are returning to the one who created us. We are returning as God's saints, as God's people. We are returning back to that paradise where we can live with God and Christ in direct communion. We are returning to that original state in which God created us so that we can be once again who He made us to be. Return, O children of men. And while it is not pleasant for us to contemplate the thought that it is our sins and our iniquities that are responsible for us dying, ultimately, we must look at death as a blessing. And you say, well, how could it be a blessing? Well, it is a blessing in the sense that we do not have to be separated from God forever in this life. Can you imagine living an eternity on the earth without ever having hope of full communion and fellowship with God's presence? I don't know that that would be a life I would want to live. And I am very thankful that God has provided a way in which we can return to Him. Moses makes it very clear here that the days of man's life are limited. In verse 10, he says, "The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." The song that Jamie led earlier comes from this psalm, "I'll Fly Away." And it's a beautiful song, and a song that reminds us that certainly we will praise God one day for the fact that He made a way for us to come back to Him. James writes, "Go to now, you that say today or tomorrow we will go in such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." James 4, 13 through 15. And then finally in this psalm we see a bequest as a legacy to the living. Look at verses 12 through 17. Moses writes this to those who are still alive. He encourages us to think carefully about our lives and about how we are going to continue those lives here upon the earth. "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, How long? And have compassion on your servants. Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. When all is said and done, Moses finds ultimate comfort and consolation in the mercy of God. He tells us, first of all, that there is a lesson to learn. Teach us to number our days. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5, O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. We need to recognize the value of our days as well. Paul wrote, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. To get a heart of wisdom so that we can best use what days we have, we need to look for that wisdom within God's Word and diligently apply it to our lives. Proverbs 3, in verses 13 through 18, we read, happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof better than fine gold. She, that is wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Wisdom. Let's get a heart of wisdom. But not only is there a lesson to learn that Moses teaches us here in verse 12, but he also tells us that there is a Lord to love. Satisfy us with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. The psalmist begs God to have pity upon us, to be merciful to us, to remember that we are but dust. Psalm 103 in verses 8 through 18. And God certainly looks down upon us with pity. And he remembers that we are dust. And it is such a blessing that he removes our sins as far away from us as the east is from the west. Moses prays to God that he satisfy us with his love so that we can rejoice and that we can be happy. And in Christ today, we certainly have great reason to rejoice and to live a life that is pleasing to him, a lesson to learn, a Lord to love, and a life to live. And that's what Moses prays for in verses 15 through 17. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us. Let your work appear to your servants, verse 16, and establish the work of our hands, verse 17. God wants us to lead a good life. He wants us to have a happy life. Now, that's not to use that as an excuse for doing things that God says that are wrong. But it is to know that if we follow God's will within our life and live for Him, that we can joy and rejoice in the days of our life. Jesus said in John 16 and verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Jesus is able to take everything that we experience here, all of the trials, all of the difficulties, all of the labors, all of the ill news that comes our way, all of the problems with health, all of the losses that we experience. He is able to take those things and turn them into a time of joy. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And so we need to meditate upon God's work and talk of all of His doings, Psalm 77 and verse 12, so that we can live a stable life, a life full of love and peace, a life that is going to honor God. In Proverbs 4 and verses 25 through 27, we hear the advice of a father when he says, "Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil." What a wonderful example we have in this psalm of a saint's closing prayer. It is a psalm in which there is a blessing pronounced upon the Lord. It is a psalm which reminds us of the brevity of life. And it is a psalm that acts as a legacy to the living. Let's understand the words that God gave us through Moses here and seek to live that kind of life, that one day when it is our time to fly away, that we will be ready and that God will receive us lovingly into His arms to be with Him in eternity. Are you prepared tonight? Are you ready? Death comes, we know not when. Hopefully it will be after a long and beautiful life, but that's not always the case. And there are times when it comes unexpectedly to each one. Have we prepared ourselves for that time? Let's make things right with God tonight if they're not right. And let's live for Him each and every day. If you need to come this evening, we stand ready while together we stand and sing.